Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We're doing the program earlier, a couple of days earlier, because of the Pesach holiday, because of Chag HaPesach, the Passover holiday. We're not allowed to record during the Passover holiday. So we're putting the show up for this week a little bit earlier. And this week's subjects are the Israeli election that was just held this Tuesday, March 23rd, for the Israeli Knesset, the Israeli Parliament. We're going to discuss the results of the election. And the Passover holiday. What is the meaning of the Passover holiday that affects the present-day generation and as it will affect the future redemption of the world? What does Passover mean? What can we get out of the holiday and learn from the holiday? Let's start off with the Israeli election. There is complete political chaos in Israel now as a result of the election. Nobody knows if a government is going to be formed or if there's going to be a fifth Israeli election. First of all, let's understand something. Israel has more elections lately than any other country in the Western world. Israel has had four elections for the Israeli Knesset. The elections for the Israeli Knesset decide who is going to be prime minister and who's going to be in the government. They run the elections for the Israeli parliament, and the parliament decides what will happen. That's how the Israeli political system works. And there have been four of these Israeli Knesset elections now in the past 2 years. Four of them in just 2 years. Four times Benjamin Netanyahu attempted to form governments after the elections were held and was unsuccessful, was unable to. There was a stalemate. And the other side, the anti-Netanyahu side, was also unable. And so you've had election after election after election. And now, after this fourth election, which again took place this past Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021, now there's a strong chance that there's going to be a fifth Knesset election, because it looks like it's going to be difficult to put together a government. Again, there may be a government. Something might change, because let me explain to you that this may be premature, what we're saying here, because votes are still being counted, the votes of Israeli soldiers. The Israeli soldiers' votes, 400,000 plus votes cast by soldiers and other people who can't cast votes at regular polling places, are now being counted. So you have over 400,000 votes, which is the equivalent of 11 Knesset seats. There are 120 members of the Knesset. 11 Knesset seats are still being determined right now, are still being counted. So we don't know for sure. It is possible that there will be a majority for one side or the other after there will be a majority for Netanyahu after the counting of these votes. God forbid, I hope not, because we want Netanyahu to go down. We want him to be replaced. But right now, as things stand, there is no majority. Not for Netanyahu and not for the other side. And as things stand now, there would probably have to be another election, and that would probably be held in August of this year, in the summertime. So this is just unbelievable chaos, if that's true. Again, I want to preface what I'm saying with the understanding that votes are still being counted. Soldiers' votes, hundreds of thousands of soldiers' votes, and votes from other people who couldn't vote in regular places are still being counted. That could still change the results of the election. That could still change things. So I'm only speaking about where we stand as of now. As of now, with 90% of the vote counted, this is where we stand. But it could still change. But let's understand something. If this doesn't change, if we don't have a clear winner, despite the fact that polls and experts all predicted that Netanyahu was going to win this time, that he was gaining momentum and that he was going to win, and that he was going to get the 61 Knesset seats that are needed in order to form a government. Because again, 120 members of the Knesset, you need 61 seats, 61 is a majority. You need 61 out of the 120 to form a government. And pollsters and experts and analysts were predicting that Netanyahu was going to get it, that he was going to make it. And as recently as 24 hours ago, even after the election results were in, people were saying that he's going to actually get 63 seats, he's going to get easily more than the 61 that are needed to have a majority, so he was going to have his majority. But now, there's a problem. And the problem was caused by the fact that another Arab terrorist party passed the threshold, the minimum threshold to get seats in the Knesset. The Arabs are voting in large numbers, and that's what's preventing Netanyahu now from getting in. You know, you let Arabs vote. You want to suck up to all of your enemies and let your enemies vote. You let Arab Nazi parties that call for the destruction of Israel to run, like the Ra'am party of Mansour Abbas. You let him run. You let Abbas run and his party run. And then you complain when they get enough seats and enough votes to prevent you from becoming prime minister. You're digging your own graves, and you're getting what you deserve. I'm, of course, the best thing for Israel is for Netanyahu not to get in again. I hope there is a fifth election. I hope that he doesn't get in again. And I hope that eventually he's out of office and removed from office, because his opposition, as bad as they are, and they're bad, are better than him. He is the worst possibility for Israel on every front. He's doing only bad for Israel, and he's convincing Jews that he's a big right-winger while he's doing all these terrible things. The Likud, by the way, the Likud party of Netanyahu got 30 seats in the election so far, according to the current returns that are coming in. The votes from the soldiers may increase that, I don't know. But right now, they got 30 seats, according to the number of votes that have been counted so far, they have 30 seats out of the 120. Now, another party we were watching there was the party of Bezalel Smotrich and Itamar Ben-Gvir. Bezalel Smotrich was running with Itamar Ben-Gvir, who pretends to be a Kahanist and calls himself a Kahanist, but who is a fraud, a phony. And they got 6 seats. Okay? So far, they got 6 seats. And that's not good, because we don't want to have a phony Kahanist in the Knesset distorting the real message of our great, beloved, glorious leader, Morenu v'Rabbeinu Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzaddik v'Kadosh Livracha, our teacher and our rabbi, Meir Kahana. May the memory of this saint be immortalized. And unfortunately, because they got 6 seats, you need a minimum of 4 seats to pass the threshold. You need to win enough votes to get at least 4 seats, or 3.25% of the total vote. Because they got 6 seats, that means that Ben-Gvir was elected technically to the Knesset. But he will not serve as a Knesset member if there's a fifth election. If there's a fifth election, he won't even get to serve at the Knesset, because the Knesset will never really be effectively functioning. So even that may be prevented, hopefully, God willing, Bezrat Hashem. Let me just say that we in the Jewish Task Force, JTF, are very proud to have played a role. I don't know what role we played. I don't know how much we influenced things. But you know, we ran an advertising campaign with Hebrew videos trying to expose Netanyahu for what he was, trying to show that the phony right in Israel is worse than the left, even than the left. As bad as the left is, the left cannot enact most of the things that they want to put into effect, because the Israeli public goes crazy when a left-wing prime minister like Ehud Barak or Ehud Olmert or Shimon Peres or Yitzhak Rabin, when they attempt to enact policies that endanger Israel or that create or that make concessions to our enemies, which they of course try to do. When they do that, the vast majority of the Israeli public says, oh, no, that's too dangerous, you shouldn't do it. And they can't get away with it. They can't get away with what the phony right can get away with doing. Whereas when a phony right prime minister like Benjamin Netanyahu proposes the same concessions and the same type of policies, and even more, he goes further than the left, he gets away with it. And we've seen this over and over again because the Israeli public says, well, if Netanyahu, the right winger, proposes this, it can't be that bad. We can't be, it's not really endangering us. It couldn't be that bad. We saw this when Menachem Begin gave away the entire Sinai, the vast entire Sinai he gave away to Egypt in exchange for a mere piece of paper. A disastrous, horrific agreement that hurt Israel tremendously, that led to hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens crossing into Israel, because if Israel had kept the Sinai, hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens that came into Israel from black Muslim Africa would not have taken over all of South Tel Aviv and many other cities and neighborhoods. But you have this invasion that has taken place in Israel because Israel doesn't have the Sinai as this huge buffer, this huge desert and this huge buffer that they would have had to prevent this massive infiltration by huge numbers of illegal aliens. And that's just one of many, many horrific consequences of the Sinai retreat that Menachem Begin and the Likud did, because they were supposed to be right-wingers, and the Israeli public right away went along with it when Begin proposed that. If a left-wing prime minister had proposed that, Begin and the Likud would have been the first ones saying, how dare you propose that, you're endangering Israel, and there would have been massive protests and they would have gotten massive resistance, and there's a good chance that the retreat from the Sinai would never have taken place. And the same thing is true with so many different concessions and so many different insane things that have happened over the years. Over 90% of the retreats from the land of Israel since the 1967 Six-Day War took place under phony right governments like the Likud. And this is what we pointed out to the Israeli public. It was not the left-wing governments that made these retreats from over 90% of the land that Israel has surrendered since 1967. These retreats only took place under phony right governments because only phony right governments can convince the majority of the Israeli public to swallow these types of insane suicidal concessions. Over 90% of the expulsions of Jews from their homes, Jews who settle in the land and build homes and build communities, are thrown out of their land, as happened in Gush Katif, again under a so-called right-wing prime minister, Ariel Sharon. This is something that under a left-wing government could never have taken place. A left-wing prime minister would never have been able to pull this off. Ehud Barak or Ehud Olmert or Shimon Peres or Yitzhak Rabin would never have been able to pull this type of thing off. The army, most of the soldiers in the army would have refused to do it, and there would have been massive resistance. But because it was Sharon, it was done. And over 10,000 Jews were thrown out of their homes. Over 40 flourishing, beautiful communities were utterly destroyed and handed over to Hamas Muslim Nazi terrorists, who now use Gaza to shell all of Israel with thousands of missiles. So again, the phony right is much more dangerous than the left in Israel, and the things they do in Israel are much more dangerous for the future of Israel. And this is why Netanyahu has got to go. He's freezing all Jewish building in Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem for 12 years now. Left-wing prime ministers could never have gotten away with a building freeze like that. I mean, the other things he's doing are just pathetic. And Iran, all he does is make speeches while Iran is getting ready to build nuclear bombs that will be aimed at perpetrating a nuclear holocaust, God forbid, against the Jews of Israel and against the United States and Western countries as well. So we have to get Netanyahu out. And we ran an advertising campaign exposing the things that I just mentioned to you, which no one else says. No one else says. Itamar Ben-Gvir and the phony Kahanists in Israel, and people like Baruch Marzel and Mikhail Ben-Ari, who are also phony Kahanists. You know, that little group of phony Kahanists who are just opportunists, they're Likud supporters. They become Likud and Netanyahu supporters now. And people now identify that with Kahanism, God forbid. Lehavdil b'elef alfei havdalot, which means it should be separated by a million separations. The evil of the Likud, the rotten evil and depravity of the Likud, vicious, treasonous actions that they've taken place of, that they perpetrate against the Jewish people over the years, versus the magnificent, glorious, true Torah ideology of Rabbi Meir Kahana. There's no comparison, despite the fact that Ben-Gvir, to get a Knesset seat, has betrayed all of the Kahanis principles and is now a Likudnik, 100% Likudnik, and is more enthusiastically supporting Netanyahu than members of his own party do. And what a phony, what a fraud. After everything Netanyahu has done, all the terrible things he's done, giving away 97% of Hebron, the second holiest city in the world, to the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat, and freezing Jewish building, where we could have had hundreds of thousands more Jews in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, and could have prevented the creation of a so-called Palestine state, and all the other terrible things Netanyahu has done, allowing hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from black Muslim Africa to flood into Israeli cities and not expel any of them. And Ben Gvir never stops kissing Bibi's tuchus. I mean, this is all he does. That's his political platform, to kiss Bibi's tuchus to get into the Knesset. So we expose these things in our videos. We were the only ones that gave this message, the only ones. And we had over 2 million, we've had over 2 million views on these videos, on these Hebrew videos exposing this. Over 2 million views in a country of 6.5 million Jews. And considering the fact that this election will probably be decided by, I don't know, tens of thousands of votes, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 votes will probably decide whether or not there's a government or not. There's a good chance that it'll be decided by as few votes as that, 30, 40, 50,000 votes. I don't know exactly, again, because all the vote counting hasn't finished. But if it's 30, 40,000, 50,000 votes that prevent Netanyahu from forming a government and that force him to go to elections again, which give us a chance to get rid of him, if that happens and we brought to over 2 million Israeli Jewish voters our message with our Hebrew videos, because we advertise the videos, of course, we have an advertising campaign. That's how we got over 2 million views. And so if we brought that message to over 2, and it's a convincing message, it's a powerful message, if we brought that to over 2 million Israeli Jewish voters, and only 30, 40, 50,000 is what you needed to change the results of the election, I think there's a real chance here that JTF played a significant role, possibly, in influencing this election. We told you from the start that if it's a very close election, we could possibly play a role in influencing the outcome. It is possible. Now, I don't know for sure. It could be, I mean, is it possible that over 2 million Israeli Jews saw our videos and it had no influence on them and it didn't affect them, and all the arguments I'm giving you that we put in those videos and that we brought to Israeli Jews, that all those arguments played no role and didn't affect anybody? Anything's possible. I don't know for sure. But I think there's a real chance here that we played a significant role in preventing Netanyahu from being able to form a government, if that's what happens in the end. And again, I keep saying over and over again that we don't have all the votes counted yet, so we don't know for sure that that's what's going to happen in the end. But if that does happen, I think that JTFers can be very proud that this little organization, JTF, whose leader, Chaim Ben Pesach, is not even allowed to set foot in Israel, has caused Netanyahu so much trouble in a very close election, undercutting him from the right. Not from the left, from the right. Because that's where he should be undercut, because he's a leftist. And Ben Gvir is a leftist, and all the politicians running in Israel are leftists. None of them stand for the truth. None of them. None of them have the guts to stand up for what's right and stand up and defend Israel against those that want to chop Israel into little pieces and make Israel give up her land and make Israel surrender all of her rights. All the politicians in Israel have caved into that and are capitulationists who want to surrender. And so JTF, with its message, its uncompromising message of saying that Israel must simply stand up for what's right and that Israel can be independent and that Israel does not have to give in to American pressure. It's a complete myth that Israel has to give in to American pressure. Israel has the ability to build its own weapons and to build a very powerful, in fact, Israel's economy and its weapon build and its weaponry and its military would be far stronger and far in a far better position if it wasn't getting so-called U.S. foreign aid with all the strings that are attached. And again, we've done many programs on this in the past, so I don't want to go into too much detail, but we've brought that message as well to the voters of Israel. Is it possible that the voters of Israel, even though over 2 million of them saw our videos, are not influenced by that at all? And I doubt it. I think we did have an impact. Will it be enough to stop Netanyahu? We'll see. We should know soon what's going to happen in terms of forming a new government, and when all the votes are counted, we'll have a clearer picture. So stay tuned next week, and we'll tell you what happens when all the votes are in. We'll give you the final results of the election, and hopefully that'll give us a clearer picture of where things stand. But JTFers can be proud that I do think we've played a role. I think we played a role in at least bringing to the Jews of Israel something that they were never even thought of, because no one even ever mentioned it. That, what are you talking about? Ben-Gvir keeps talking about saving the right-wing government, and we have to save the government of the right. We're the only ones that said, what are you talking about? This is not a government of the right. This is a government that does more harm to the land of Israel, to the cause of Israel, to the people of Israel, than even the left. We're the only ones that delivered that message, and I think we delivered it effectively. I think you hear the way we're presenting it on this program. We deliver it effectively and convincingly, and we do it with facts and information and so on when we, in our videos, that we do the advertised videos. And again, I think it has an impact. We'll see in the end if it was enough to prevent Netanyahu from forming a government, which would be disastrous, and Ben-Gvir from becoming the Kahanist representative and spokesman in the Knesset, which is also disastrous. It's bad enough that the media keeps identifying him, and everybody keeps identifying him as a spokesman for Kahanism when he's not. That's bad enough. So that's the election news. It's actually pretty encouraging so far. And again, I don't know, it may turn bad when all the votes are counted. We'll see. But so far, from what has been counted so far, it looks like Netanyahu was stopped from being able to form a government, which is something that was not expected. I didn't expect it. If you recall last week, I was saying that I thought he probably would be able to win the election, because I was relying on the polls and the predictions, and they made sense to me, and so I was pessimistic. But it looks like we have a shot here at doing something that I didn't anticipate we would be able to do. Baruch Hashem, thank God, and let's hope, Bezrat Hashem, God willing, let's hope with God's help. Bezrat Hashem means with God's help. Let's hope with God's help that when all the votes are counted, that Netanyahu is unable to form a government, and that what is good for Israel will happen, which means we get rid of the phony right and the liars and the hypocrites and frauds who are running Israel. And on the other side, we'll also get hypocrites and frauds if the other side gets in. But at least there, we won't get people who are so effective at pushing this surrender agenda down the throats of the people of Israel. Okay, let's talk about Pesach. Chag HaPesach, the Passover holiday. First of all, Chazal, who are the rabbis, the great rabbinic sages of the Talmud, they teach us that the Pesach redemption is going to be similar to the modern redemption in many ways. A lot of the things that happen on Pesach, this will be a guide to what will happen in the final redemption, because we're now entering the period where we have the final redemption. The final redemption was the recreation of the State of Israel in 1948. That's the final redemption. It already started in 1948. It's not finished. We have a long way to go. But in 1948, the final redemption started. We're not in Galut anymore. We're not in the exile. The redemption, HaGeulah, has started in 1948 with the resurrection of the State of Israel, with the return of the Jewish people to their land after 2,000 years of brutal exile. Just as the prophets and everyone predicted, and everyone, for so many years, all the Jewish skeptics and the self-hating Jews always say, oh, that's ridiculous. It's not going to happen. What are you talking about? Well, you believe that? What's wrong with that? Those are fairy tales that you read in the Bible. That's nonsense. It ain't necessarily so. It ain't necessarily so. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, they ain't necessarily so. I don't even know if that's really, if those are the exact words, or something like that, that Gershwin, another self-hating Jew, wrote. This was the philosophy of all the self-hating Jews. and of a large portion of our people, unfortunately. But there were enough Jews who did believe to keep the Jewish people alive and to keep the flame of hope alive for the Jewish people. And eventually we returned in 1948, and we are in the land of Israel, and all the trends are moving us toward the final redemption. The modern return to Israel is far greater than the miracles of Pesach. We read the miracles of Pesach and people say, oh, I don't know, did they really happen, all those things? The Eser Makot Mitzrayim. Eser Makot Mitzrayim means the ten plagues that were in Egypt. Could that really have happened? Kriyat Yam Suf, the parting of the Red Sea. I got news for you. The creation of the State of Israel in 1948 and the victories like the 1967 Six-Day War, those miracles were greater, far greater, than the miracle of Pesach, than the miracles in Pesach that we're going to be commemorating at the Seder, when we go to the Seder to read about the miracles in Pesach. Hashem, God, miraculously brought us out of the land of Egypt during Pesach, and returned us to the land where we're destined to live, the land of Israel, and that was a great miracle, tremendous miracle, breathtaking. But in the modern miracle of the modern redemption that took place in 1948 and that has been taking place since, Hashem has brought us not from one country into the land of Israel. He's brought us out of over 200 countries back to our homeland after 2,000 years. Over 200 countries the Jews have come from the four corners of the earth. Just again, the prophets all told us this is going to happen, that you're going to come from the four corners of the earth, from every country, speaking every language, you're all going to come back. Oh, this was predicted thousands of years ago. The prophet said this was going to happen, when there was no way to know that there was going to be anything approaching this type of situation. The prophets told us that this is exactly what was going to be. And of course, Chazal told us this was what was going to be as well in the Talmud, you know. So the miracle of bringing us from over 200 countries back to the land of Israel in modern days, in modern times, is even greater than the miracle of bringing us out of the land of Egypt in ancient times. And in modern times, the desert in the land of Israel was a desolate, horrific land, desolate, like a desert, even worse than a desert, Mark Twain said. Mark Twain said, at least in the desert we had the cactus plant. He didn't even find cactus plants. The land was so desolate when he visited the land of Israel 150 years ago. I think it was about 150 years ago Mark Twain visited there. And which, by the way, is one of the things that proves, you know, the phoniness that the Arabs claimed that they had a big, beautiful country there called Palestine. There was never a Palestine. There was never a Palestinian people. Complete lie. Never existed, and the Arabs weren't there. The Arabs came after the Jews. When the Jews started returning 100 years ago, 150 years ago, and started redeeming the land and turning the land from desert into garden, miraculously, the desert was turning into a garden. When that was happening miraculously, the Arabs came for economic opportunity and to find employment. The Arabs came after the Jews. The Arabs were never there. The Arabs, most of the Arabs that call themselves Palestinians, are Egyptians. Yasser Arafat, and most of the Arabs, they were all Egyptian. They had Egyptian names. And I know because my grandfather was from Egypt. And we've shown videos, by the way, in Hebrew, especially in Hebrew, of Arabs saying on Egyptian television, we're all Egyptians. Arabs who called themselves Palestinians saying, there's no real Palestinian people. You know, that's not for real. I mean, we're really Egyptians. And of course, some of them also came from Syria and Iraq and other countries. But there was never a Palestinian people, and there was never a Palestine. Complete lie. Anyway, the desert in modern times turns into, it was the worst land you would want to go to. On the coast, it was a malaria-ridden swamp where anybody who tried to clear the swamp, huge numbers of people, a lot of the Jewish pioneers who went there died of malaria and other diseases. It was a malaria-ridden swamp that had to be cleared up, and it was very hard to do in 100, 150 years ago. You didn't have the technology you have today. Even with today's technology, it would be difficult. Malaria-ridden swamp on the coast. And then the land that isn't on the coast is all desolate. Ruined, desolate. And the Jews have turned that into the most magnificent, lush, beautiful, breathtaking country you could ever see. Where the people that are boycotting Israel even say, how do you tell? Because they ask the question, well, how do we know if they're Israeli fruits and vegetables as opposed to other fruits and vegetables from other countries? How can you tell? And the boycott people, the BDS people even, the not BDS Nazis, even they said, you can tell because Israeli fruits and vegetables are higher quality than the other ones. They are so sweet and delicious. They're such beautiful fruits and vegetables from the land of Israel. The land is becoming the lush, magnificent, beautiful land that it was in ancient times. God made the land desolate to prevent others from taking over the land and not let from his people. When the Jews were not there, the land was desolate, didn't produce anything. It wasn't even raining in the land. When the Jews returned to the land of Israel, when the Jews returned to the land, look what's happening now. It's becoming the land that produces the most beautiful, magnificent fruits and vegetables and produce in the world. And the rabbis tell us in the Talmud, how do you know what's the final sign that the messianic redemption is almost here? And that you're at the end of days, you're in your Acharit HaYamim, you're at the end of days. What's one of the clearest signs? When the fruits, when the land starts growing its fruit again and its vegetables again and becomes fertile again. That's one of the greatest signs. And again, all of this, a tremendous miracle. In the time of Pesach, we didn't have that. In the time of Pesach, it was already a very fertile land when the Jews came and came home to the land of Israel from Egypt. So this is the miracles we've seen in modern times are far greater than the miracles that we're celebrating and commemorating on Pesach. Far greater. And the Jews were outnumbered 100-1 in the wars. The Jews came out of the Holocaust. They come right out of the Holocaust and the concentration camps. And here they are, they have to fight for their survival in the land of Israel, outnumbered 100-1, and win the 1948 War of Independence. 600,000 Jews in Israel win against 7 invading Arab armies who are commanded by British commanders, like Lord Glubb, who was commanding the Jordanian army and the Arab Legion. And the Jews beat them, outnumbered 100-1. The Jews of the Irgun, of Etzel, and Lehi, the Jewish underground groups, there were 1,000 Jews in the Jewish underground, threw 100,000 British soldiers out of the land of Israel. There were 100,000 British soldiers stationed in the land of Israel to keep control of the land of Israel, because it was very important to the British, because the land of Israel is the passageway between Asia and Africa, and they wanted control of that land. They didn't want the Jews to have an independent state. And 1,000 underground soldiers, underground fighters, threw 100,000 British soldiers out of the land. Threw them out. And I mean threw them out. If you read about we really should do shows about the incredible, miraculous battles and the incredible things they did. Just fantastic stories that really should inspire everybody. Heroic, magnificent stories. The miracles of winning against hopeless odds, of redeeming the land, turning it from desert into garden, and of coming from over 200 countries after almost 2,000 years of exile, almost 2,000 years. Just an amazing example of why the modern redemption is even greater than the redemption during Pesach. And this is just the beginning. As they used to say, as the Jews and the Jews did create Hollywood, and the Jews were the brains behind Hollywood and all the great movies, and Hollywood had great movies and fantastic talent once upon a time in the 20s, 30s, 40s. It was Jewish brains that were behind it, and almost all the brains that were behind all of that were Jewish at that time. Now, you know, you have scum that are all the scum that are running Hollywood. Hollywood is just pure evil right now. They're all scum. But anyway, the Jewish brain, in Hollywood, they used to have a saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. And when it comes to redemption, we ain't seen nothing yet. That's nothing compared to what's yet coming. And we've already seen such incredible miracles. But you have to be blind not to realize that these are incredible miracles, that this is the hand of God, that this is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. You have to be completely blind. One last point. In Makat Hoshech is the plague of darkness. One of the 10 plagues was Makat Choshech. And in the plague of darkness, God created darkness over Egypt for 3 days and three nights, because he didn't want the Egyptians to see that he was going to kill his own, most of his own people. Because most of the Hebrews in Egypt did not want to go to the land of Israel. They wanted to stay in Egypt. They were afraid to go. They'd go to the desert. What are you, crazy? Moses, he's a radical. He's a radical. He's politically incorrect. He's a racist. This is what they, of course, all untrue that he wasn't a racist, but all the crazy things that you hear now about anybody who tells the truth. This is what they said about Moshe Rabbeinu, about Moses. And they didn't, most of the Jews did not want to go there. 80% of the Jews didn't want to leave. 80% of the Hebrews didn't want to leave. They were called Hebrews at that time, Ivrim. They didn't want to leave. 20% wanted to leave. In Makat HaChoshech, the plague of darkness, Hashem killed the 80% that didn't want to leave. They were either killed or they disappeared. It's not exactly clear what happened to them. Some of the rabbis say they were killed in the plague. Some of them say they just disappeared through assimilation, intermarriage, and remained in Egypt. But whatever happened, they disappeared. They were gone. 80% of the Hebrews who didn't go to the land of Israel were destroyed either physically or spiritually, or both, one or the other. The other 20% who left for the land of Israel, of course, became part of the great Jewish people and part of the chosen people, who are going to bring redemption to all generations and to the world forever. When that comes, when the final redemption comes, it will be forever. But the message of Pesach, therefore, is either you go to Israel or you're going to die. You're going to be destroyed, either physically or spiritually. You have no future unless you go to the land of Israel. When Hashem says the time has come for you to go to your homeland, you have to go. You have to go to your homeland. You're not allowed to stay in Egypt and say, well, we have a bigger yeshiva in Egypt, and we have the kosher butcher, and we have the nice place, and we have the base midrash, and we have a nice... we learn over here, we learn better over here than we learn over there. All lies, by the way, all lies. Okay? Your yeshivot and your Beit Midrash and all of your other things in the Galut are a thousand light years behind the equivalent ones in the land of Israel, because in the land of Israel, 10-year-old Jewish kids know more Hebrew than your rabbis do in the Galut. Okay? So, it's baloney. You're way behind the learning that takes place in the land of Israel. Way behind. And in the land of Israel, one-third of Israeli Jews now are religious. One-third of the Israeli Jews now are religious. Half of the soldiers in the Israeli army are religious. The vast majority of Jewish babies being born, about 60% of Jewish babies being born every year now, are religious. The religious are taking over Israel. In the Galut, in the United States, maybe 6 or 7% of American Jews are religious. Only 6 or 7%. Okay, American Jews are disappearing completely, just like they did in the plague of darkness in Egypt. So the lesson is we must make Aliyah, we must go to the land of Israel. We should prepare, we should plan, but we have to live only in the land of Israel. There is no future in America. There is no future in any other country. This is a cemetery for the Jews, a spiritual and physical cemetery for the Jewish people. The land of Israel is where the future is, if you want to do what Hashem commands us to do, which, if you have any brains, you'd want to do it, because on Yom Hadin, on the Day of Judgment, you're going to be asked why you didn't do it. So, that's where we stand, and that's the message of JTF. That's the message of JTF to American Jews, just as we have a message to Israeli Jews. Because we're supposed to be, and we are a great people, but we don't want to be a great people. We don't want to be. And we don't want the destiny. Most Jews run away from the destiny that God has put upon us. But we can't flee. You can't run and you can't hide, because God controls the entire universe. And so, that's our message now for Pesach. Hopefully the election results will continue in a positive direction to prevent Netanyahu from from being able to form a government, and hopefully we'll all, and I hope that if you see this before Pesach, before you go to the Seder on Pesach, we have two nights of Seder on Pesach in the Galut. I hope all of our JTFers, our wonderful JTFers, have a wonderful Chag Sameach, Chag Pesach Sameach, which means happy Passover holiday, and a meaningful Passover holiday, Bezrat Hashem. And hopefully we'll be able to do things that will make this a better world. Because if we fight together as a team, we can make this a better world. And we can make a difference. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.